All right, Mark chapter 4. You know what? I think I'm just going to skip this first part of this deal, okay? We're just going to move straight into kind of the meat of the message. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Okay, so this is Jesus' first time to teach, at least in the Gospel of Mark. It's recorded in the Gospel of Mark where he uses a parable. And a parable is a natural story that has a supernatural impact, has supernatural understanding to it. So something that people can understand at one level, but it requires a different level to apply to your life. So you can understand the story and yet it not apply to your life because you didn't go deeper with it. So he comes to this this point, and it says, once again, Jesus began teaching by the lake shore. Verse 2, he taught them by telling them many stories in the form of parables such as this one. So parable, again, a natural story with a supernatural understanding. He said, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed, and as he scattered it across the field, some of the seed fell on the footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Say, ate it. Okay. Other seeds fell on the shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted and spread quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have roots, it died. Say, it died.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 7, other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants so that they produced no grain. Say, no grain. Okay, so we're not having a lot of luck here, are we? In fact, there's no luck right now. Nothing's growing. Nothing's producing fruit. Put it that way. Nothing's producing. Still, other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted and grew and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times, say 100 times, woo, as much as had been planted. Anyone who has ears, let him hear this, listen and understand. Later, when Jesus was alone with his 12 disciples and with the others who were gathered around, they asked him, what did this mean? What were you talking about? And Jesus replied, you are permitted to understand the secrets or the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but I use parables for everything that I say to outsiders. Verse 13, and this is critical, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? This is the most important parable. You better get this one right, because if you don't, you will mess the whole thing up. Jesus was an enigma. You know what an enigma is? Something you can't quite understand. There was a movie just a year or so ago, 2 years ago, called Imitation Game. Anybody see that movie? It's about Alan Turing, British scientist, who broke the Enigma machine. The Enigma machine was an encryption device that the Germans used to send out messages to their commanders about certain battlefield tactics or whatever. And it would just come across as garbled mess. They didn't know what it meant. The English didn't know what it meant until Alan Turing and his team uncovered it. They figured it out. And in so doing, they stopped the war by at least 2 years. Hundreds of thousands of lives were saved because he figured out the enigma. Jesus was an enigma. People didn't understand him. In fact, in chapter 3, his family said, he's nuts. That's why we've come to get him. And then the religious leaders said, no, he's not nuts. He's demon-possessed. He's an enigma. He was an enigma. His teachings were enigmatic. He says, about seeds and things. And he teaches at one level, but he says, okay, let me give you an understanding. I'll go deeper. I'll explain what this is so that you get it. We have to understand this parable, even though it's a little bit enigmatic. But one of the key things about this parable is that it talks about crop failure. In fact, 75% of the seeds that are talked about here don't produce anything. They may sprout up, but as far as producing other fruit, they don't. Nothing is produced. And since 75% of the seeds don't produce fruit, we need to consider why is it these seeds don't produce fruit? Because this all applies to our life. Here's the big idea for the message, and it's not on the screen. If you're taking notes, the big idea is this, is Jesus' impact on me is completely dependent on me. Jesus' impact on me is completely dependent on me. And he talks about four soils here. These soils are the soils of our heart. And right now, today, in everybody's heart, you have all four types of soils. You've got hard soils, you've got rocky soils, you've got weed-infested soils, and you also have fertile soils. So how does this crop failure happen in these first three soils? He says, look, the reason why my word, my actions, even answered prayers. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Here's the deal, we could have the most dramatic, and Landry and I have talked about this morning, we could have the most dramatic answered prayers that anybody ever said, imagine. I'm believing for them. We're going to see the dead raised, we're going to see the blind see, we're going to see, you know, girls with eczema healed completely, okay? We're going to see that. We've seen elements of it. We've seen signs of it. We've seen God do some great things over the years I've been here. But I mean like consistently. We're going after this thing. We're consistently going to see it. But here's what I know. Those things can happen and people say, I like that, and it not change their life. You see, the intentions of miracles, Jesus said, look, the intention of a miracle is to change your life, to change your mind, to change you. He said, if the miracles that I have done here had been performed by Sodom and Gomorrah, guess what? The cities would still be here. They would have repented. But you look at my miracles and say, that's cool, and it doesn't change you. Crop failure. The word hits you, but it bounces off. So how do you diagnose crop failure? Now, this first part of the message is kind of heavy, okay? The first thing about in our own lives, the reason why we don't produce 100-fold... it's because we've got a hardened heart. You say, well, I don't have a hardened heart. Oh, yes, you do have a hardened heart. I have a hardened heart. Look at, now Jesus interpreting this parable. Now look at verses 14 and 15. Jesus is now, has told this enigmatic story, and now he gives the deeper understanding. So he goes on to say, the farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. So that's happening like right now as I stand before you, 11:52, I'm taking God's word to you. It happened earlier if you went to Bible study or as you studied your Bible. It says, verse 15, the seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come at once and take it away. Did you know that he can do that? He'll take it away. He'll snatch it out of your heart. You say, he can't do it. Yeah, he does. He snatches it out of your heart. You say, how does that happen? Let me tell you, two ways. One is complacency. Callousness. Callousness towards the truth of God. You nod with your head, but you don't change your heart. Callousness. I agree with that. That's right, preacher. You're reading your own Bible, and you read the phrase where it says, you know, to love one another, to forgive one another. I agree, I nod, but then you don't forgive others. I nod with my head, but I don't change my heart. It's a callousness towards God's word. Look, we all are there. We know this. I should do this. I shouldn't do that. But I'm going to keep doing this. It bounces off. Satan comes. He steals it. Then there's also along with that, similarly, is compromise. Just with toying around with sin. Taking advantage of the grace of God. Dwelling on things you know you shouldn't dwell on. Saying things you know you shouldn't say. Acting in ways you know you shouldn't act. But you say, I'm just going to go ahead and do it. Go ahead and say it. Go ahead and think it. Doesn't matter. It's my life. That's just the way I am. Just accept that. And you wonder why the Word of God doesn't have such an impact on your life. I know it here, but it hadn't changed here. So there is this compromise and callousness. Last week I talked about keeping the Sabbath. Everybody for keeping the Sabbath? Say amen. 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 We're all for keeping the Sabbath. But have you kept the Sabbath? Well, you know, I'm getting around to it. Well, okay, that's good. That's a good start. But for some of us, we just nod, but doesn't change our heart. The second thing, well, let's look at what James says. Read the passage with me in James chapter 1. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away. That's a person who says, I agree with it, but it doesn't change you. The second reason there's crop failure is because of this, hardship and hurt, verses 16 and 17. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately they receive it with joy, but since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. There's hardship, there's hurt. Man, I have witnessed this thing up close and personal with people. You talk to them, yes, I need Jesus. I need God to do something. And God does something amazing. He answers the prayer. He comes through in a dramatic way. Whatever it is, it happens. And they're like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And they begin to walk with him. But then suddenly, as they're walking with him, suddenly, man, they're boom. Boom, Satan hits them. Another hardship comes their way. Pressure comes at them, and then suddenly they just fall to the ground. And it's like all of that work that God was doing all of a sudden comes to a sudden halt because of hardships, of hurt, and because of things below the surface. As you know, I mean, within all of our lives, we've got huge, probably issues, broken places within all of us that are just kind of lurking right below this, like an iceberg, just there below the surface. We feel like, I'm okay, it's all right. And then we're hit with pressure, we're hit with situations at work, we're hit with financial crises, we're hit with relationship problems, and those things surface. And where we thought we were doing so great, suddenly we find ourselves tipped over because of those underlying issues we've not dealt with. Usually hurt of some sort. Hardship, hurt, keep the word from having its way with us. Your lack of awareness of below the surface issues in your life. I'm telling you, that stuff keeps the word from sprouting and bringing forth good fruit. Just to keep the alliteration going here, a hurried home, a hurried home. Look at, that's the third reason why there is not much fruit. Verses 18 and 19. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by what? Here's what it's crowded out by. Worries of life, the lure of wealth, the desire of other things, so no fruit is produced. My message last week addressed that, the whole thing about keeping the Sabbath, this go, go, go mentality that we have as Americans. Get, get, get. Maintain, maintain, maintain. It creates this unsettledness and this discontentment within us. We're never quite where we want it to be. And if we let it, the American way of life will ravage our soul because we never have enough. If God, if Jesus, if the church is just an add-on, I'm just going to add it on to my life, my already busy life. I'm just going to add it on. I guarantee eventually it will find itself at the bottom of the list, towards the bottom of the list. If it's just another add-on, living the distracted, multitasking life guarantees crop failure. I'm going to say that again. Living the distracted, multitasking life guarantees crop failure. Because this go, 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 get, get, is the opposite of what will actually grow your life. I spoke this years ago. We've said it throughout the time I've been here. That acronym BUSY, do y'all know what BUSY stands for? What does it stand for? Being under Satan's yoke. Being under Satan's yoke. That busy lifestyle will quench out. It acts as weeds that come around in your life. These are all good things, but things nonetheless that will squeeze out the very life of God in you. There's that initial, he says, it begins to grow, but then it's faded into the background of that second job, of girls' softball, of weekend getaways, of paying taxes, of maintaining the house, of taking care of your senior parents, all that kind of stuff. Good stuff, but stuff that quenches the seed. And the result of all of this is crop failure. Look at verse 25. To those who listen to my teaching, and it's not just listen, but it's about application, who listen, who apply it to their life, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, that is to those that maybe listen, but it doesn't create change, even what little understanding they have will be taken from them. Crop failure. This is why a person who is raised in a Bible-believing church, who once had a genuine faith in Jesus and a love for God and a passion for things of God, they can become desolate, dust-blown pasture with little or no vegetation in their life. You think, man, I knew him 5 years ago. He was on fire for God. But now look at him. He's back in his old ways, his old habits. Even worse. Look at her. She used to be on the praise team. And now what happened to her? It's because she heard the word in either the rocky soil or the weedy soil or the hardened soil. It never penetrated. It never produced fruit. 75% crop failure. That is not good. But it's true for all of us. We all have these levels, these types of soils within our heart. Here's what we need to know right here, so I can get to the next slide. God's Word is not a lot of information in a hard drive that can be automatically retrieved from the deep recesses of our mind whenever one needs it, because it is a seed. It is a seed that can be stolen, a plant that can wither, and a young shoot that can be choked. We got to know that. This stuff can be taken out based upon the condition of our own heart. So that was kind of a bummer part of the message, okay? Let's get to the better part of the message, all right? How can you have this hundredfold return, though? Because 25% of the seeds do 30, 60, and 100-fold. How do we become people who have a hundredfold impact? People who do great things for God? Well, we do the very opposite of the things that are listed here. The very first one is this, is we have perseverance. Say perseverance. Perseverance. See, that's the opposite of the shallow, rocky soil. The shallow, rocky soil jumps on board and says, that's what I want, I'm so excited. And I'm all about enthusiasm and excitement. That's great. Give me that over any dead person. I mean, come on. I'd rather have wildfire than no fire, you know? So I'd like that. I like that excitement. But a lot of times people get excited and then suddenly they fall off. So, but how do we maintain that necessarily excitement, but that commitment? Well, we got to persevere. And the perseverance, let me give you two things under perseverance. That means there needs to be an awareness of the devil and his tactics. He is going to hit you hard. If you're here today and you've been going through some change and transition in your life that's been positive, and God's been taking you to a new place, expect a kickback. The devil doesn't give up on you easily. He's going to make sure you're going to feel pain. You're going to feel trouble. You want to do what's right? You want to live for God? Guess what you just got on your back? A huge target. Huge target. He says, I'm going to take you down. So just be aware of that. So be aware. He's going to send hardships and hurt your way. The second awareness are the underlying hidden issues of your own heart. There is an enemy on the outside, okay? But there is an old way of doing things on the inside that always will get you back into trouble. So being aware, okay, what are these old patterns, these old mindset, these old things that I'm doing that are sabotaging the work of God? And I'll get into this a little bit more detail in a moment. The second thing that you need to do besides persevering if you want to have a hundredfold return is to make a priority. Make God and His Word a priority. It's the opposite of the weed-infested soil. He has to be first place in every place. Say that with me. He has to be first place in every place. He is not an add-on. Oh, I'll add on church. I'll add on Jesus. I'll add on Bible reading. Because he will. Eventually, it gets down to the bottom of the list. That no longer trends. He gets lower on that trending list. It's whatever else is going on in your life. He's got to be first in your family. He has to be first in your work. He has to be first in your education. He has to be first in your hobbies. He has to be first in your sports. He has to be first in everything. He gets first place in every place. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. He's going to get it. He's going to get first place in my finances, first place with my giftings, first place. I'm going to serve the Lord. He's going to get first place. You ask pastors today, this question has been asked to thousands of pastors today. Here's the question. What are the biggest challenges that you face with your congregants? When that question's been asked, thousands of pastors respond. There are numbers of answers to that, but like in the top five, here they are. The most challenges, the biggest challenges I face as a pastor is a congregation that is, number one, too busy and lacks commitment. And those are the two things, the opposite of those are the two things you need for the word to take root in your life and to produce a crop 100-fold. You got to slow down and you got to be committed. You keep going, 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 and just adding on, adding on, adding on, and your spiritual life, there will be there, but it will, the impact will be minimal. He's got to be priority. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Pliability. Instead of the hard soil, our hearts need to be pliable. They need to be soft. Read that passage with me from James chapter 1. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you. Amen. Pliable. I will be a doer of the word. Say that to somebody. Turn to somebody and tell them that. I will be a doer of the word. Amen. Look, I want to tell you something. I am content with the Lord. Amen. I hope you're content. But I am not satisfied with my relationship with him. Okay? I want to know him more.
Amen.
I want to know more of his love.
Amen.
I want to know more of his righteousness. I want to know more of his power. I want to know more of his compassion. Amen?
Yeah.
I mean, that should be everybody. Nobody here should say, yes, I'm content and satisfied with my relationship with Jesus. I am content because I know I'm loved and I'm forgiven and I'm enjoyed by God. I'm so happy about that. I'm so happy, but I want to know that even more. I want it to be on earth as it is in heaven in my relationship with him. I don't want to get to heaven and go, oh man, I didn't know about that and this and that. I want to know him perfectly as much as I can in this life. I am content in my relationship with my wife. I am content, but I am not satisfied with it. You know, because I want to be a better husband for her. I don't want to be the grumpy guy. I don't want to be the disengaged guy. I don't want to be the guy that's always got something else going on. Okay? Okay? Amen. Amen. I mean, honestly, I don't want to, you know, I was just thinking, why did I respond to her that way? Why didn't I say yes? Why didn't I help out? Why didn't I serve her? You know, the Bible does say you're supposed to serve your wife like Christ serves the church. Why is it I have such a hard time with that? And that's dealing with those underlying things, those things that are deep. There's things that are the rocky soil that keeps you from producing much good fruit. That's pliable, okay? That's pliability. And then the last one is this. Being fully persuaded that Jesus is who he says he is and that the word is true. Amen? I'm going to be fully persuaded that Jesus is our Savior King. He is the judge of mankind. He is the Lord of the universe. He is the one who died on the cross for me, who took away my sins. He is the compassionate King. He is our friend. He is our older brother. He has sent us the advocate. I am fully persuaded of that. He is returning one day. Did y'all know that? Amen. Amen. I'm fully persuaded, but I am also fully persuaded that his word is true. That what it says, it means. And that even though if society itself, if the American culture bans the Bible, and it's not going to do that, but they're going to ban parts of it. They're already in the process of doing that. They're going to ban parts of the Bible. It doesn't matter. Go ahead, ban it, burn it. I don't care. I'm still going to believe it. Amen?
Right.
Ban it, burn it. I'm going to believe it. There you go. That's a bumper sticker. There you go. Amen. Amen. I am fully persuaded that its promises are true today. I can use them, I can apply them, that God speaks to me through them, fully persuaded. I guarantee you, you do those things and you will become a person who has a 100-fold return. Jesus' impact on me is completely dependent on me. Say that with me. Jesus' impact on me is completely dependent on me. So what kind of soil are you? What are you struggling with? What are the rocky things underneath the surface or the hardships that are coming your way? What are the things that are like strangling you right now? What are the areas? Some of you, you've heard things all your life about living a certain way, and that word continues just to bounce off you, bounce it. Satan just comes and takes it. What's that thing that maybe you've heard this week three or four times? You're thinking, yeah, that's right, but you haven't done it yet. I'm telling you, it's a word from the Lord for you to say, okay, I'm going to make my soil pliable. I'm not just going to hear the word, I'm going to become a doer of it. Amen. Let's stand together. Please bow with me. We want to be like Mary in the Gospel of John, I believe it's chapter 12, where she comes and she breaks open her perfume there amidst all these men. We're saying, doesn't Jesus know she's a sinner, she's awful or whatever, she shouldn't allow that. And she breaks open this jar of perfume and puts it on his feet. And Judas and others are saying, doesn't she know she could have sold that and given all that money to the poor? You see, what she was doing was an enigma to them. They didn't understand it. But Mary knew Jesus at a deeper level. And she knew that he was going to die. And Jesus said, she's preparing my body. Don't you understand? She knows something you don't know. She's getting me ready for my death. I want to know Jesus like that. I want to know Jesus like that. I don't want to just know him just on a surface level. There are always different, deeper levels to know Jesus. And would you just ask, oh Lord, just a deeper revelation of you. Remove the rocks. Give me grace through the power of your Holy Spirit to break up the hard ground of my heart. And give me strength to pull up the weeds, to say no to some stuff that's quenching. I just in your heart say, I don't want you to be an add-on. I want you to be first place in every place. Fully persuaded in you, in your word. Here today, there may be somebody that probably is that's never made a commitment to faith in Christ yet. You know about Jesus, you've heard the stories, but you've never stepped out. And it's been kind of like the hard soil. It's something that you've known, but you've not applied. And today, I'm going to ask you at the end of the service, prayer team members that were here earlier, they're going to come down front, and I want you to come to them and say, you know what, I want Jesus to have his way in my heart. I've shut him off, but now I'm going to open up. I want to know him. Don't leave today without having that conversation with someone. And there's some of you today, there's some underlying issues that have kept God's word from permeating your life in a deeper fashion, and the Holy Spirit's bringing those things to light. You need to say yes to the work of the Holy Spirit. Don't quench his work today. Oh, Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you, Lord, that you never let us go. That your word is alive, it is active, it is going to accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. And we want to be good soil so that when that seed goes forth, it hits our hearts and immediately begins to produce good, good fruit. So we thank you that you're going to give us the grace and the strength that we need to become the soil that is best used for the extension of your kingdom. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let me speak this blessing, or actually it's just kind of a word over you about the word itself, and we'll be dismissed. Again, today at 2 o'clock, you can come back, just meet me over there at that building. We'll meet in the old youth room. From Isaiah chapter 55. If you're visiting with us for the first time, my wife and I, we're going to be in the back in the atrium. We have a gift that we'd like to provide you. And so it says, the rain and snow come down from heaven, and they stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out. It was sent out today. and it will produce fruit. It always does, and it will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper you in every way. Amen. Amen.